Gold 92.5.
Driving the Gold Coast home. The Rush Hour with Luke Bradnam and Margo Parker.
It's great to be here wherever I am. I always love it when I'm here. But I've never been here before. It's great to be back.
I've been on the road doing comedy now for 10 years, so bear with me while I plaster on a fake smile and plow through this one more time.
It is Valentine's Day. I hope you're not just remembering now. We kick-started it last night, and it was a great night at the QT Hotel. We set up six couples, six singles, 12 single people. And I've got to tell you that what happened was Margot and Bridge went off with the girls to begin with. So you guys were the six girls. Spider and I were hanging out with the six dudes, and they were all really good blokes, Margo.
Yeah, lovely ladies. We're having a bit of a wine and a bit of a chat and mulling over what we thought the boys were going to be like and what to expect and what are you going to ask them. And
it was really cool.
It was exciting.
And it was good because none of the dudes knew who they were being matched up with.
It was a secret.
We'd take them into the room and we'd introduce them to their partner.
Because the boys are sitting there waiting for the ladies, and then we walk the ladies in and the boys greeted them with a single rose. Beautiful. Thank you to Rosita for that. But they greeted them with a single rose, and then they give that awkward first sort of embrace where they're not sure to kiss or shake hands or hug. But one of our couples, Heather and Gary, a bit older, these ones are, they like embraced for a really long time. She was whispering sweet nothings into his ears saying, "I'm a cougar," and rah, rah.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly think shenanigans might have gone down last night between them, but I don't know.
Someone had a room, didn't they?
One of the ladies booked a room at the QT Hotel.
Yeah.
Not sure who it was and not sure if she went home alone or with someone, but we will get to the bottom of that throughout the course of this afternoon. But I can tell you that out of the six couples that we matched together, and we put a lot of effort into this because the whole theory behind it was that just jobbers like us, Margot, myself, Bridge and Spider, we could do a better job than the married at first sight so-called experts.
Yeah.
And out of the six couples that we put together,
there was a solid five.
Five out of six have said they want to see each other again. That's pretty bloody good.
Yeah.
Come on. And the real success story of the night had to be Reese and Charmaine, or they were at least one of the success stories.
Yeah, they hit it off.
Have a listen. Reese and Charmaine, they just talked all night and you couldn't wipe the smile off their face. Have a listen to this.
Hi.
Hey, how you going?
Good, thank you.
Thank you so much.
That's all right. I thought I'd bring my own first.
Oh,
so kind.
So how did the dates go?
Well, here we are with Reese. He's been teamed up with Charmaine. Your first impressions were when you first got to meet Charmaine?
She's pretty beautiful. She's a good-looking girl. She's real nice, yeah. Real easy to get along with, yeah. Been at it all night, like talking.
That's been great.
Oh, it's been awesome, yeah.
But are you interested in a second date with her?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Well, Charmaine, Valentine's the first time. Now you're with Reese. He's a good-looking rooster. Out of 10, what's your first impressions?
I would honestly say a good 9.
Good solid 9. You're gonna like that.
Yeah, he's so lovely, so easy to get along with. So we talked at the beginning, and this is so rare for me, but I hate tomato, he hates tomato. I don't know anyone else that really does.
Oh, wow.
We both hate a lot of the same foods. And we're talking about how I hate avocado because of a texture thing. So he said he'd feed it to me and maybe make it better.
Reese tonight says, Charmaine, I'd love to take him a second date. Mm-hmm. It doesn't involve tomato, but could involve smashed avocado. Yeah. What are you going to say?
I'd say yes, definitely.
Yes!
That was a success story. Charmaine joins us right now. How are you, Charmaine?
I'm good, thank you.
What happened? We left, I don't know, about 10:30, something like that. What happened with you two crazy cats after we left? Is there any news to give us at all?
Unfortunately, nothing yet, but juicy. We just stayed there, had a few more drinks when we, I guess, lost track of time, but definitely had to get home and made sure I had a full 8 hours of sleep from work this morning.
He didn't make you smashed avocado on toast this morning for breakfast, Charmaine?
No, I think we'll wait till the weekend when we both have our Sunday off to do that.
Hang on, so are you guys hooking up on the weekend?
Catching up.
I think it's definitely on the cards.
That's unreal.
That's so exciting.
So the bottom line is, that all in all, we did a pretty good job in matching you up with Reese.
Yeah, I actually think it was a very strong connection. So you've done very well. I'm very impressed.
A little birdie told me, Luke, and this just goes to show how small the Gold Coast is that Reese and Charmaine have actually spoken to each other over the phone before, and they found out last night that they are connected through their work. And so they've had work conversations over the phone before, and then last night when they met in person and got talking, they realised that they had actually met over the phone before. How are you guys connected?
So I sell cars and he sells 4x4 equipment, so he's actually a major supplier, I guess, for our equipment. So yeah, we actually talk and we, I guess, marry up jobs together. So, yeah.
So
I
love was always there and you didn't even know it.
Awesome stuff. Awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
Good on you, Charmaine. Glad you and Reese hit it off. And let's hope it's the start of a long love story. We'll check in with some more of our couples throughout the course of the afternoon. Hey, before 4 o'clock this Arvo, we're going to give away Elton John tickets and we're going to put that phone call through to your husband, Corey Parker, and see if he has, if he's going to take credit for two bunches of flowers.
It'll be interesting to see.
Despite the fact
he
only sent you one. We'll get to that. And we need to thank QT Hotel.
Yeah, we got to thank QT Hotel for last night. Yamagan Restaurant. Amazing if you can get there. Amazing. Beautiful. Japanese food. We got to taste a bit of a sample of what the contestants were eating last night as well. All of our lovebirds. And they all seemed to devour it. And so did we.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast with Luke Bradnam and Margo Parker.
And after our big Valentine's Day night last night at the QT Hotel, I've got to share with you, Margo, an embarrassing moment that I had. This is one of the more embarrassing moments I've had for quite a while. And it was at the start of the night, right at the start of the night, I've walked into, how do you pronounce that restaurant?
Yamagan.
Go into this Japanese restaurant, beautiful restaurant. And I wasn't sure where we were all sitting because I'd been at the bar just having a couple of soda waters with all the boys before I went in.
Yep.
And then I go in and I see all these couples sitting around.
Yep.
And I go up to one of the couples and I introduce myself and I say to them, this is so embarrassing. Have I told you this story off air?
No.
Okay, this is a clash. I go up to this couple and I go, hey guys, how's the night going? Because I'm just trying to get a feel you know, how our we're matching.
Did you tell them who you were? Like, hey, it's
like no. Like, honestly, Margo, honestly, I'm so up myself. I thought they'd know.
Everyone knows who you
are. So I've gone,
what's the weather guy look?
No, because it's a Gold FM event.
Yeah,
and I've just been having a drink with all the boys beforehand.
Okay,
so I've gone up and I've gone, hey guys, how's it all going? And they go, good. And I go, we feeling any energy here? Are we feeling any sparks? Is everyone having a good night? Do we see a future here?
Oh,
right?
Lord.
And they go, yeah, it's really uncomfortable.
Yes, because they've been there for 2 minutes, possibly.
No, it wasn't that, Margo. It was that they were just a couple from the Gold Coast who were having a dinner. They had nothing to do with Gold 92.5.
Oh, you idiot.
It wasn't one of our contestants.
Oh, stop.
And I've gone up there, a total stranger, shoved my head in the middle of their dinner and started asking them relationship questions. It was so embarrassing.
Well, clearly you didn't take much notice of the guys you were having a drink with at the bar if he wasn't one of them.
No, it was so embarrassing. Well, imagine you're just having dinner with your girlfriend and then some total jobber just rocks up and says, how you going, guys? Is there sparks happening here?
An old mate's got his fist clenched, ready to deck you, thinking maybe you're an ex or something.
Did I tell you the story?
Like, trying to hit on his girlfriend.
This one was more embarrassing for me. This was going back to 2016, and I was going to climb Mount Kilimanjaro with Coralie, and my dad came down with his wife.
Did you do that? I've done that.
I rarely talk about it.
Did you mention that before?
Anyway, they come down to have dinner with us before we go.
Mm-hmm.
And we have dinner at Shuck at Main Beach.
Yeah, fun.
And anyway, I rock up there and Dad and Elise are sitting at the table and Coralie and I rock up. And just as I go over to see Dad and Elise, I see a friend of mine, Nicole.
Mm-hmm.
And so I walk over and Nicole's at this big long table and I walk up to Nicole and I give her a kiss because I've known her since I was 12. I go, hey, Nicole, how are you? And I go, Coralie and I are just having dinner with the old man. He's down from Mission Beach. And I introduce myself to the table. I go, g'day, guys. I'm Luke. I go, yeah, Coralie and I are about to go to Kilimanjaro. We're about to climb the mountain, blah, blah, blah. And I do all this. And she's just giving me the weirdest look. And then I look, and it's not Nicole.
It's not Nicole.
It just looked like Nicole. And I've just given a total straight. Turned out she was on a business trip from Melbourne. And my old man.
So embarrassed.
And I'm so embarrassed. And my old man sitting at the table alongside of me, he goes, he does it all the time. He's a creep. That's his mate. It's his go-to move.
You're listening to the Rush Hour podcast with Luke Bradnam and Margo Parker.
And Margo Parker, who's sitting in the studio here with a nice bunch of flowers, but it has to be said, Margo, not the biggest bunch of flowers that we have here today delivered to Gold 92.5.
Well, we all know that it's about quality, Luke, not quantity. But Corey's put a lot of thought into this bunch because typically men send red long stem roses because it shows, you know, how big their pockets are because it's expensive. Roses are like $100 to $200, you know. And Corey's actually put some thought into it because he's put three of my favourite flowers in there. He's included the roses for Valentine's Day, but he's also added some dahlias and some orchids.
Hemp. Some hemp.
And some lots of green stuff.
Right.
But, yeah, all flowers that I love. But, so he's put a bit of thought behind it.
Well, there might be a lot of thought about it, but here's the bottom line is Margot's flowers are nowhere near as big as another one of the girls who works here. She got a massive bunch of flowers.
He's overcompensating for something small, I'm sure.
Oh, don't go getting all jealous, Margot, just because someone got a bigger bunch of flowers than you. But what we thought we'd do is... Like, Margot took a photo of her bunch of flowers next to the other girl's big, massive bunch of flowers and sent a text to Corey saying, what, thanks for both bunches.
So I sent him, I sent him a message saying, hey, babe, thank you so much for my beautiful bunches of flowers. And he responded, you're welcome.
Right. So he's taking credit for both.
Yeah.
So
and then I said, a bit special that I got two bunches. And he said, what two bunches? And so then I called him.
Right. Okay. So
and we recorded it because that's the beauty of radio.
Will Corey try and take credit for both bunches of flowers or will he come clean and say, no, he only got you the small bunch?
What do you reckon? What would you do?
I'd take credit for both. but it would be an awful feeling because if he would know then that you've got a secret admirer.
Well, what if he took credit for the bigger bunch and not the little bunch?
Okay. Here's what happened.
What, so you only sent me one.
Yeah.
Why do I have two?
I don't know. Maybe you got two admirers.
So which ones did you send me? The little bunch or the big bunch?
What do you reckon?
Well, neither of them had a name on it. Both of them just had a message. And I just assumed it was from you.
Well, it was from me.
Well, did you send me two or did you send me one?
I only sent you one.
Well, I've got a little round one in a bowl and then I've got a tall bunch of just plain red roses.
I don't know. I sent yours.
And I got two cards, both with a message on them, but neither of them had a name. One was about, you know, thank you for being the light in my life. And then the other one was about, what does it say? The card says somewhere, something about finding the right, not finding the one, you want to live with, not live without.
What does it say?
So there's one that says, love is not finding someone to live with, it's finding someone you can't live without. And that was with the fishbowl. And then I've got 12 red roses with another card.
What's that card say?
You're the only one for me. You're everything and more.
Nope.
Well, how would they know I work here unless they work here?
Not sure.
Corey, don't you know anything, mate? You take credit even when you don't need it. Even when the credit's not due to you, you just take credit. It's just a test, brother. It's just a test. She only got one set of flowers, mate. She only got one set of flowers, but...
Oh, really?
We really thought you might try and take credit for both. But there's only one set of flowers, mate. There's no secret admirer. You've made everyone else here at Gold FM look bad because the bloody flowers you've sent are massive and no one else has done anything for anybody. And now every other dude at Gold FM feels like
they're all online trying to send orders through now.
Absolutely.
Too late now, lads.
you made us look bad, you bastard. Rock on, mate. And I'll tell you what, Margot, you're married to an honest man because if it were me, I'd have claimed credit for the I would have claimed credit for the imaginary bunch as well. Mm-hmm. Good on you, Corey.
Oh, good.
See you, brother.
Thank you, darling. Happy Valentine's Day.
Which ones did I send you?
There's only one. There's only one set, mate.
You're listening to the Rush Hour podcast with Luke Bradnam and Margo Parker.
Happy Valentine's Day to you. I hope you. I hope someone was thinking of you today.
Yeah, even if somebody hasn't thought of you, we're thinking of you, aren't we, Luke? Yeah,
well, you know what we're thinking of? We're thinking of the people who forgot Valentine's Day.
There are plenty out there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there would be, honestly, there'd be nothing worse than getting a card on Valentine's Day, or even worse, getting a present from your partner when you know you've got nothing to give back.
You've realised, you're like, oh my God, I've got nothing. And then you like make something up and you're like, oh, I've got a special surprise for you tonight. You'll have to wait and see.
I've been in that situation in my life. It's not a great deal of fun, I'll be honest with you.
No, I can imagine it wouldn't be. And I never forget.
Yeah, well, you're awesome, Margo.
No, well, not that I'm awesome. I just love these like days, and I love love. And, you know, I think you get so much forewarning. You know, like there's Valentine's Day cards on the stands in the shops. Like, 8 weeks ago.
Yeah, right.
Well, and so you've got plenty of time to think about it. Like, even if you bought a card 8 weeks ago and then just had it stashed, ready to go, so you could just whip it out.
But people just, like, you forget. You just forget.
You get busy.
You're going to get around to it. You don't get around to it. And look, the bottom line is, if you've stuffed up this Valentine's Day.
Have you forgotten?
If you've done nothing, or if you've had just a horrendous Valentine's Day for whatever reason, what we're going to do right now...
If you got a small bunch of flowers and not a big one.
Oh, yeah. Whatever. Whatever your hard luck story is, maybe your missus got you something and you didn't get it back, or vice versa, whatever the case is. Maybe, you know, you got her the wrong flowers. Or whatever. Whatever your story is. We're going to take three calls right now, 13, 27, 10, because we're going to fix things up for you.
Yeah.
This is our last minute Valentine's make good.
Mr. and Mrs. Fix It here, Luke and Margo, are going to help you out. We're going to throw you a lifeline.
We've got a cool prize up for grabs. We're going to fix Valentine's Day for you, and this is what we've got, all right? Margo and I are going to take three phone calls. We're going to give you like 30 seconds to plead your case. So you get to plead your case and tell us why you need your Valentine's Day fixed, how you stuffed up or whatever happened. We've got a team of experts, judges we've got. This, can I rattle through the judges we've got for you? So Margo and I aren't going to decide who's got the best story. We're not going to decide the winner here. The experts are going to decide. We've got, have you seen them in the green room, who we've got?
No, tell me.
Okay, we've got the Married at First Sight judges, all the experts.
John Aiken.
Yep, we've
Melissa
got.
Melissa Schilling.
For some reason, we've also got Pete and Manu.
From My Kitchen Rules.
We've got Matt Preston from MasterChef, and we don't even know why. Daryl Summers is in there with Ozzy Ostrich, and I don't even know why.
We've got Dr. Chris Brown and...
Julia,
what's her name?
Yep.
The funny lady. Julia Morris.
Fat Cat's there with Humphrey B. Bear.
Agro's
in there.
And Jamie Dunn.
And not only that, remember Ugly Dave Gray?
Yeah.
He's in there smoking cigars.
Ranger Stacey and a frill neck lizard.
Who else, Brixie? You've had a look in there. Who else did you see?
We flew in Simon Cowell.
Simon Cowell's in there.
I know. I'm amazed.
So Simon Cowell's in there with his shirt off, which
Dicko,
is...
Dicko Dickinson.
Dicko's in there. So, look, everyone's there.
Delta Goodrum, because, you know, she's the best judge on The Voice.
Is that who... Yeah. Elton John's there. So...
Sir Reginald.
Yep. Sir Richard Branson's there.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast with Luke Bradnam and Margo Parker.
We're going to right a wrong here. We're going to get Valentine's Day back on track for one of our listeners right now. We've got a whole host of celebrities in our green room ready to judge these stories, these hard luck stories, and then we'll make good on Valentine's Day for whoever our celebrities deem to have the hardest story. I just saw Bert and Atomic in the green room, Margo. He was hanging out with Ray Warren.
Bert and Ernie just went past.
Bert and Ernie are in there. Yep, there's a whole host. The MasterChef judges are in there with the experts from Married at First Sight, and they're going to listen to the stories. Who's the first hard luck story for us, Margo?
We've got Kate from Benora Point.
Kate, how are you?
You got 30 seconds or less to tell us why you deserve this Valentine's Day prize today.
Okay. Ready?
We've got till 6 p.m. You've only got
15 seconds left.
My husband is in the hospital. He had an emergency op, so therefore he was unable to get to the shops, but he's going okay now.
What's the operation for?
He had a hernia.
All right. Okay.
Well, why wasn't he more organised? He should have organised something yesterday.
Margo says that even an operation doesn't save you from getting something for your missus on Valentine's Day. She's not buying that as a good excuse. But who else we got there?
Not even from the...
Hang on there. We'll see if you're our winner.
Brent from Upper Coomera. You got 30 seconds. Pledge to me why you deserve this Valentine's Day prize, mate.
So I've got a great wife who's looked after my kids for many years and brought them up well. I finally decided to order her some flowers, only for the order to get cancelled at 3 o'clock this afternoon and have nothing delivered to her.
What was their excuse?
A bit upset about that. Their excuse? They didn't have anyone to deliver them.
Oh, fair dinkum.
I mean, so they were ordered online, and so waiting all day.
Yeah.
I had a delivery time for when it had to be there. And she never received it.
Mate, I'm feeling your pain because I've been going off my chops off air about this because I ordered flowers 2 days ago and they still haven't arrived.
Between 9 and 5, you were told, Luke. There's still time. You've got half an hour.
Fair dinkum.
Hey, Brent, in all fairness, though, you did say she only raised your kids well, so maybe she doesn't deserve them.
She did a fantastic job, I tell you.
All right, Brent, one more.
Okay, she started work last year. Yeah, all right.
You had your 30 seconds, mate. Dicko in the green room said you've had enough. All right, so we've got one more, Margo. Who have we got?
Adam's joining us. Adam, you got 30 seconds. Pledge your case, mate.
Hi, my dear Luke, every time Valentine's Day comes up, I've never actually got a partner.
Right. Aww.
And last time I actually had a lady in my life, I gave her a card and a bear, and I didn't put the XXX circle on it. She went, sort of went off of me, so, yeah.
Mm.
But usually Valentine's Day falls around the time where I'm sort of not in a relationship. So.
Adam, I feel sorry for you.
It's a way to save money, though, Adam, isn't it?
I know
a mate that broke up with his missus just before Valentine's Day. So didn't have to buy one. Okay, Margo, we've just heard Adam's story there. Brett from Coomera, the florist, has called last minute to say that they're not coming through with the goods. And the first one, her husband's in hospital now. The judges, our experts, have been in there. I just saw... who was that I just saw there? That was that the great Susie O'Neill, the swimmer, in her togs with Laurie Lawrence, and she was just conversing with the MasterChef judges. They've come back, Margo. They've handed you the golden envelope for who they think deserves our make good. Who deserves it, Margo, and who gets the prize?
Oh, look, Kate, I'm sorry that your husband's in hospital having an operation, but he should have been more organised. Adam... You tore at the heartstrings, mate, lonely on Valentine's Day. But if I give you the prize, it means you've got no one to go with. So, Brent from Upper Coomera, because you're in the same situation as Luke and you actually made an effort to organise some flowers and they got cancelled on you, out of your hands, out of your control, we're going to give you the prize.
Oh, yeah.
Well
done. I'm not in the dog box tonight.
Good on you, mate. No, you're actually heading off to the newest restaurant to open in the heart of Broadbeach. It's the home of a great range of pasta, homemade gnocchi and hand-stretched pizza, and we're talking about Don't Knock It.
Yeah, we're going to give you some cash to go along and enjoy dinner on us there, all right? How does that sound?
That would be fantastic.
Good on you, mate. Don't Knock It until you try it under the Phoenician in Broadbeach, and that is our make good. And if you don't agree with the judge's decision, don't blame us. It was Gene Simmons from Kiss that made the final decision. We're here.
You're listening to the Rush Hour podcast with Luke Bradnam and Margo Parker.
And something very special happening right now, in fact, right through until 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. Started at 9 o'clock this morning. The great Benny Hannett is on a 24-hour bike ride at Pacific Fair. Stationary bike. You've been down there, Margo, and checked it out, right?
Yeah, there's a heap of bikes down there and a heap of people really getting behind it, coming out. I know Chloe Maxwell's down there and obviously Ben Hannett's down there riding away and just doing as many kilometres as they can to try and help support this beautiful family that are going through such a tough time.
And Benny joins us right now. He's actually on a break. Benny, how are you, mate?
Good, thanks, Luke. Thanks, Margo, for getting us on the phone.
Hey. How are the legs feeling, mate?
I'm not going to lie, they felt better. The legs aren't as bad as my notch. The notch, you could throw some marshmallows down there. There's that much heat coming from the undercarriage.
hey, Benny, so talk to us about who you're doing this for and why you're doing it, mate.
Now, we're doing this for a lovely lady named, and unfortunately, 2 weeks before Christmas, she started getting headaches. She's a mother of three children. Unfortunately, she's done it tough over the past 5 years where her first child had a hole in his heart, but he's a little trooper and is doing well now. The second child she carried full term, and unfortunately didn't make it. And now she has a 1-year-old now and now faced with stage 4 brain tumour, which unfortunately she's got surgery soon, but if she doesn't get the surgery, she'll only have 3 weeks to live. And I just think this resonates to everyone on the Gold Coast who's got a young family, that this could happen to everyone, anyone, and we just want to make sure that she can focus on the most important thing, which is her family now, making memories with her young kids and her husband, and we'll take care of the rest here on the Gold Coast. The Gold Coast has been overwhelmed by how fantastic everyone has been.
Yeah, mate, I'm just looking at the GoFundMe page at the moment, up to just over $91,000. The goal is $150,000. And Benny, I know there's a lot of families that have been donating $10 here, $20 there. It'd be fantastic to get some big business on board, mate, that could chuck sort of a 10 grand donation or something, like a substantial donation to just really kick this along.
That would be fantastic. That's what we're after. We're loving all the small donations. Every dollar helps. But there's some big businesses out there. It's going to take a big cost to be able to help Beck to be able to recover and be able to make the most time with the family. And that treatment's come at a cost, and it'll be really great to see some of these big businesses on the Gold Coast stand up and really make a decent donation or challenge me. I'm here on the bike for the next 19, 20 hours, so let's throw a challenge out, and I'll do whatever it takes to be able to get back the help that she needs so she can focus on what's most important, and that's her family.
And that's the beautiful thing about community, is where we can all rally together. There's so many people out there going through tough times, and we understand that this is no different to that. However, this is close to home for us here. A member of our team here in the studios, and her family are hurting, and we're trying to do everything we can to try and help ease that situation and make it a little better.
Yeah,
that's it.
Benny, how's your ass?
Mate, I'm telling you right now, if you had a marshmallow, mate, you'd be roasted. You'd be probably a foot of it.
Have
so.
You met Ben Hannon? He doesn't have an
arse. Yeah, he doesn't. His backside's got its own postcode. I've seen him walking around. Hey, Benny, you're an absolute champion, mate. Get back on the bike and head to our Gold FM website for that GoFundMe link. And keep going, mate. We're right behind you.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast with Luke Bradnam and Margo Parker.
But there's been a big sort of conference, Margo, with all of our heavy hitters looking into how to fix traffic congestion here on the Gold Coast.
Yeah, and they want Gold Coasters to dob in the black spots for congestion so that they can maybe potentially fix it one day.
Well, let's air it here. 132710's our number.
Where would you be your black spot? You always whinge about, what is it, the Sundale Bridge?
Yeah, I'm telling you, the lights at the Sundale Bridge, the traffic that gets congested back up towards the
Yacht
Southport
Club.
Yacht Club from the lights there when you're trying to turn right to go over Sundale. That can be fixed so easily. The lights stay on for four cars at a time. Only four cars get through and then they're red again.
I don't reckon it's any worse than the lights here at Broadbeach at the bottom of the studio at Hooker Boulevard. When you're coming from Hooker Boulevard to turn onto the Gold Coast Highway just out here at Broadbeach, I reckon I sat there for 6 minutes. 6 minutes.
Mind you, you were on Instagram. I didn't mean to tell you, but you sat through four sets of lights, Margo. Hey, let's go to Sam. Who you got there? Sam, what did you want to say? Mielo. Mielo.
How are you going? Yeah, the worst spot on the Gold Coast has to be that Coomera area. Takes me about 20 minutes to go 2 kilometres just to get onto the highway. It's horrendous.
Yeah, God, I can't stand
people. What Coomera area?
I can't stand people that can't merge either, coming out through there.
Oh, I know. Yeah, it's terrible.
You just want to drive.
The speed limit's 100. You've got to merge at 100.
Hey, thanks for your call.
Shane's called through. Shane, where's your congestion hotspot?
The Pimpama exit on the M1 going north. The cars are backed up onto the highway. It's bloody ridiculous.
They have to move over to the side like it's another lane, don't they?
Yeah, but they need to just redo the whole thing. It's crap.
There used to be a sign. I've talked about this before, but back in the day, there used to be a big billboard there when they were selling land. And this is back when the highway was just two lanes. And it said, "From here to Surfers Paradise in 15 minutes. And then someone went up with a big ladder and spray painted, "In a helicopter." Hey, who else we got?
Jules has called through. Jules, where's your congestion hotspot?
Oh, my God. Stick a fork in my eye. Lucky it's Valentine's Day and we're all loved up. We're stuck in standstill traffic between Mudra Bar and Burleigh Heads.
It's always
awful there, isn't it?
Always.
What do you do, though? How do you fix it? You know,
you listen to us on Gold FM in the afternoon while you're stuck in traffic, and we can keep you entertained.
I'll tell you what, we're going to send you off to see Diesel. He's got his greatest hits album tour coming to town. He's going to be at the Rissold, Southport RSL. It's Saturday, the 23rd.
Next Saturday night, Luke.
Is it really? Yeah.
Yep.
And anyway, tickets are available at dieselmusic.com.au, but hang on there, we'll fling you a double.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast with Luke Bradnam and Marco Parker.
We had such a good night last night at Yamagan Restaurant at the QT Hotel.
So much fun. I'm going back tonight.
Yeah, Margo's...
I'm going back for seconds.
Margo's going back two nights in a row. That's how good it is. It was such a good night. But, yeah, the most enjoyable part, apart from the food, was just sort of sitting back and watching our couples mingle. And
love was in the air.
We spoke about it earlier in the show. We had six couples that we matched up. One couple probably never see each other again, but let's not talk about them.
No. It was Jackie and Ray, Reese and Charmaine, Tracy and Mark, Sky and Michael, Heather and Gary, and Kelly and Jonathan.
Five out of the six have said that they want to see each other again, and Kelly is one of them, and she joins us right now. Kelly, how are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Good.
So, how was the night, Kel? In your words, how did you rate it?
Fun. Very, very fun.
What was the dude that you got matched up with again?
Jonathan. He was lovely.
Yep. Ex-military.
Yep.
Yeah, so I found out that part of our conversation that we were having, because, you know, as I said, I like a man in work boots, but a man in uniform doesn't go too far either.
What else did you find out about him that you liked, Kelly?
We fought over avocado a little bit in the salad, and I found out that, you know, he's a hardworking, you know, father and really loves the time that he has with his daughter, which means a lot to me. Right. Why does that mean? I think because I've got girls of my own, and you know, when a guy loves his children, he definitely loves the person that he's with as well.
And have you guys made plans to see each other again?
We have swapped numbers, but we haven't made plans yet.
Has he contacted you?
I did get a Valentine's text this morning.
Oh, there you go. No, it's nice.
Did he say it to you while you were laying in bed next to each other?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Nice try.
Here's the go, Kelly. out of the 12 people that we set up last night, we whacked everyone's name into a barrel, and your name has just come out, Kelly, and congratulations. You've just won a night at the QT Hotel. Well done. Congratulations.
That's amazing. Thank you guys so much. You did a really, really good job, and I was really happy with just everything that was organised last night. So thank you.
Well, here's the go, is you can take whoever you want to the QT Hotel for that night away. You don't even have to take anyone. You can go and just spoil yourself if you like, but Bridge and Spider are going to call you tomorrow morning on their breakfast show after you've had a bit of time to think about it. And they're probably...
Beautiful.
And being so nosy, okay, they're probably going to ask you whether or not you're going to take Jonathan. But that's up to you. Don't tell us. You think about it.
Have a
think.
Otherwise,
can take Luke and I for helping you out and being such good sports and finding love potentially for you.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast with Luke Bradnam and Marco Parker.